Paul Meacham Jr.
The Apostle Paul once described himself as a runner running a race, the race of life. But not just running, running with a purpose, running and leaning or pressing toward the finish line and the prize waiting on the other side. Paul pressed toward the finish line because he knew he had not yet reached the final goal. Well, Paul had done many good things in his life. Most of us would have considered his accomplishments to be great. But Paul knew that the time of rest and the reward of heaven can only be received on the other side of death. His life should stand as a great example, an example of one who refused to fall short of the final goal. Today we ask the question, will I fall short? We welcome you to today's broadcast, and we invite you to get your Bible and prepare to study along with us. A study entitled, Not Far from the Kingdom. This phrase comes to us from Mark chapter 12, where Jesus saw a man who had a good understanding of the law and had an honest heart and said that he was not far from the kingdom. Now, we have taken this as a statement of warning and not as a statement of commendation. We want to be sure that we don't fall short, that we don't come near to the kingdom, but fall short of that final goal, that goal of heaven and the reward that exists for us there. In order to help us understand the danger of falling short, we have looked at a variety of Bible characters. We began by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 34 and the life of Moses, and how Moses died in the land of Moab rather than receiving his goal, that land of Canaan. We then looked at the rich young ruler from Luke chapter 18, who came to Jesus in search of eternal life. He had found the appropriate person to give him that life, yet he fell short of that goal. He lacked one thing, and that is that he still trusted in his riches. We then noticed from Matthew chapter 25 that there were five foolish virgins who wanted to enter into the wedding feast but were unable to because they had not made the proper preparation. We then noticed from Acts chapter 24 that the Roman governor Felix had Paul come and speak to him, and Paul preached to him regarding righteousness and self-control and the judgment that was to come. And we know that Felix came very near to obeying, so near that he even got to the point where he believed the message that Paul was teaching, to the point that he trembled physically, but he would not obey it. We then noticed from Acts chapters 25 and 26 that Paul defended himself for being a Christian before King Agrippa. And we know that King Agrippa knew many things, in fact had complete or perfect knowledge of the way. This was the way, the Lord's way, the way that the gospel lays down for man to go to heaven. Yet we find that even having knowledge of that and believing those things, for we know he believed the things that were prophesied in the Old Testament regarding Jesus and his church, even knowing those things is not enough. You must take action. Take action based on that knowledge and be obedient to our Lord. Agrippa said that Paul almost persuaded him to be a Christian, but we have no record that he ever obeyed. Because of this, we find him as one who was near to the kingdom, but did not attain that goal. We then learned last week from Acts chapter 5, the first 10 verses, about Ananias and Sapphira. Now here were two who were taught the gospel, who heard the Lord's invitation to come to him, and did so. They were members of the Lord's church, Christians, members of the church of Christ, yet they still sinned. They loved the praises of men, they loved the greed of money, and they lied. And because of that, God struck them dead, made of them an example to all who would lie to him. We find from the book of Revelation that there is a place reserved for all liars. It is the place of torment, the place of eternal torment. It is the place called hell. Because of that, we need to live in such a way that we would not go there. For even those who are now believers, who have at least initially obeyed the Lord's commands and are members of the Lord's church, can still fall short of the goal. Now, this has been a long study. Most of our studies don't go this many weeks. This one has because I wanted us to see that the Bible is filled with so many examples of those who had a goal, had a good goal, but still fell short of it. There are many more examples that we might look at, but we'll end our study here. And it's one of the reasons that this is a particularly glad day for us. because when studying a subject of perseverance and not falling short of the goal, it would be particularly embarrassing to not complete the study. So I'm glad that we've had this opportunity to go all the way through it. We finish today by taking the lessons that we've learned and applying them to ourselves. For the next few minutes, and we don't have very many minutes left, I want you to think only of yourself. I don't want you to think of your spouse if you're married, your brothers or sisters, those people that you may work or play with. I want you to think only of yourself and ask the question, will I fall short of the offered reward? Oh, there is a reward that's been offered, and it's offered to all. In Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, Peter says, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." The offered reward is there for you. It's there for you no matter who you are or where you live. In Romans 10 and verse 13, we're told that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So it doesn't matter who you are or where you live, the reward of heaven is offered to you. God wants you to come to repentance. God wants you to turn to Him. So it's been offered. Will you fall short of it? The question might be asked this way, will I allow myself to miss heaven? Anything that stands between us and God is that one thing that will cause us to fall short. In Philippians 3, beginning in verse 12, we read, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Now, in our opening comments, we mentioned this particular passage where Paul says he's pressing toward a prize. Here he says, "I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul knew that he had to continue to press forward, that no matter what he had done in the past, he had to continue to drive on toward that goal. If not, something would come between him and God, and he would allow himself to miss heaven. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5. "Also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love." You see, Peter doesn't think that we should begin this walk of service to God and then just end it there. Rather, as we continue to be His servants, we must continue to grow and add these things to our lives, continuing to press forward to that prize. 2 Peter 1 tells us, beginning in verse 9, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure." If we have initially obeyed the gospel, if we've come to Jesus believing that He is in fact the Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing His name before men, and then being buried with Him in baptism, have our sins washed away by His blood. If we have done those things, we've become His child. But don't stop there. Don't get near to that goal of heaven and then fall short, as did Ananias and Sapphira. Rather, continue to strive. Continue to press forward. Now, many fail in that. They fail because they satisfy themselves with a standard that is far short of God's standard. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 119, beginning in verse 59, "I thought about my ways," that's the examination part, "and turned my feet to your testimonies." That's the repentance part. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. This is what we should all do. We should examine ourselves regarding the testimonies of God. Repent when we have strayed away from His Word and turn our feet back to the path that He chose for us to walk. If we do that, then we can turn to Him the same way the psalmist did in chapter 139, beginning in verse 23. We can say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Once we have examined ourselves and made the corrections that bring us back to what God's Word says we ought to be, then we can stand before God with confidence and say, "Search me, O God. Look into my heart and know me. Judge me according to the standard that you have given." Now, if you think that maybe this life of service and obedience is not worth it, then ask yourself this question. What is it that you're allowing to stand between you and heaven? What is it that is so vital, so important, so precious to you that you allow it to separate you from God? In 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes to the young man Timothy and says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Is this world so great that it is great enough to stand between you and God? Is this world so wonderful that you would allow it to keep you out of heaven? Many times we are short-sighted spiritually. We look only at what is before us, and we think only of the things that are available to us in this life. I encourage you to look beyond, to look into the next life, and see the things that God has for you there. By way of conclusion, the great prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God." Don't allow anything to stand between you and God. Read His Word and obey it.